The woman on the stairs had uneven pale hair and a glassy, bitter stare.
"Maybe you'll last longer than the previous tenant," she said.
Sister Agnes fixed her with a look. "Maybe I will," she said. The woman tilted her head, gave her an empty smile and went on her way, her limping tread echoing on the staircase. What on earth did she mean? Athena turned away from the window, silhouetted against the spring sunlight. "Really, sweetie, those nuns should have moved you into somewhere safer. An ex-council flat in a rough part of South London, with weird women hanging about on the stairway muttering curses."
"It was hardly a curse. Just because they claim they're doing up your old place. The roof was leaking."
"These riverside views, they could at least have chosen the fashionable bit."
"And anyway, it was either that or moving into the community's house in Hackney."
"Oh no, you. Living with a load of nuns? Out of the question." Agnes laughed.
"Athena, I am a nun."
"Yes, but you're different. You have standards. Mind you, those old jeans have seen better days. And your hair. I mean, it's okay keeping it short. But you know, with all that grey, all I'm saying is a decent cut and colour, you'd be back to normal in no time."
"I'm not sure my fellow sisters would see it that way."
"They just don't have a best friend to tell them, that's all." Athena went back to unpacking boxes. She wore a navy tailored skirt, a blue blouse. Her long black hair fell in measured waves.
"Do you really read this stuff, kiddo?"
Athena held a book out to her.
"Some of it, yes. Some of it I just kind of absorb without taking it off the shelves. The last thing one finds in writing a book is knowing what to put first."
She peered at the spine.
"And do we find out who'd done it?"
Agnes smiled. The room was bare with cream-painted walls, but the new paint couldn't hide the 1970s functionality, the low-ceilinged meanness of the space.
"And a new job too," Athena said. "It's like a midlife crisis that you haven't even chosen.
It's not for me to criticise Father Julius, but for him to insist you go and work in that hospice up the road and then bugger off on retreat."
Agnes laughed. "The job is all good, and Julius needed a break.
I mean, some of us could really do with sitting up a Welsh mountain with a load of shaven-headed Buddhists. Me, for example. It would barely touch the surface of my sinfulness. But him, I'd have thought he'd be holy enough." She went back to the boxes.
"Ooh, this is pretty. Where did you get this?"
Athena held up a square of thick paper.
"A drawing," she said.
The pencil lines showed three tall flowers with thick stems and rows of tiny petals.
"Asphodel, isn't it? I remember it from Greece."
Agnes took the paper from her, held it in her hands.
"That is so weird," she said.
"What?"
"Heavens, I've forgotten all about this."
"What's weird?"
"It's just... the boy who drew this for me years ago in Provence."
"A boy?" Athena sat back on her shiny navy heels.
"I was 16, Agnes said, "living with my parents. Before I knew you even, eons ago."
"Olivier." Agnes touched the creamy paper. "That was his name. I just heard from his cousin like yesterday, day before. And not even thought of him forever. And then I get this email from Jean-Yves. And now you've found this. Weird."
She looked up.
"He was English. Oliver. Though all the locals called him Olivier. He was staying with his aunt. He was very shy. Lonely. Both of us. That's what this is." She gazed down at the paper in her hands. "The Asphodel Meadow, he called it. We used to take refuge there, and now..."
"Oh, sweetie, look at you. Bad news.
He died last month. His cousin tracked me down, thought I should know. They had the funeral back there in Marseille where he lived. His aunt is still alive. Oh, God, I don't know why I'm crying."